You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here on Friday. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Good to have you for the final day of the week. A busy, busy day. Lots going on. Especially on the show, I'll kind of review what's going to happen on the show. At about 5:35, I'm going to have KOLD sports anchor David Kelly calling in. He just took a trip to the Football Hall of Fame to see his, well, along with his dad. His dad's in the Football Hall of Fame, as we'll talk about that. Let's see what's going on campus as we almost start the school year. Maybe get his thoughts on the football team, things like that. He'll start at 5:35. Then we'll start at 6:05 in the second hour. I think we're going to have Sean Mooney, the former sports guy on Fox. Now he's a KVOA anchor in the mornings. If you get up early in the morning and watch him. And he has a big golf tournament, fundraising golf tournament next week. Doodads. We'll talk about that. I haven't had Sean on since, I don't know, maybe November, December, something like that. And then a special treat for us. Got a hold of Frederick Marx, if that doesn't ring a bell. It's not a poet. He's a movie producer. And people my age or a little bit younger would know his name from... I just lost it. I just lost it. I'm just thinking about it all day, which is great. Hoop Dreams. God, why did I forget about it? Hoop Dreams? From back in the day, the show. Do you remember seeing that movie?
Hoop Dreams. Yeah, I saw that a long time ago.
25 years.
I don't even remember it anymore.
Right, right. So it's 25 years ago now. They're going to have a showing at the Loft, and that's why he's going to be in town. We're going to talk about it now.
Is he going to be in the 6 o'clock hour?
6:40. Yes, he's in Massachusetts, so it'll be a late night for him. He's going to call in. It'll be good. Looking forward to that. So a busy day, a lot of things going on out in the world of sports. And good to see you, Tom. We've had a good week, I think.
I've enjoyed it so far. I don't get all 5 days, but I get three of the five, so that's a majority of the days.
I know you don't mean this the way you say it, because I don't really pay attention to stuff like that so far, because that gives you some wiggle room to say, Steve, you'll screw this up.
Yes, you have one day left to make it a gold star week, or it can all go down the tubes.
You have a 50-50 chance there, man.
But you sound like you have a good lineup for today, so I'm not worried.
No, you'll come in with some good questions. Yesterday, we talked to Ed Vosburgh here and the Little League guys from Sunnyside. That was a great interview. In fact, you chimed in with some great questions, and Ed really liked the show. He texted me after saying, hey, good show.
Oh, good. Well, I'm looking forward to when he comes into studio with you.
Yeah.
Sometime in the future.
And then you'll have one of the only three, what?
Guys who have been in the Little League World Series, in the College World Series, and the World Series,
right.
Major League Baseball Series.
Which is a cool thing. When you're a man and you play baseball, guess what? That's kind of cool to have on you.
Sort of like participating in the Grand Slam of baseball. And what I was asking for yesterday was a little too much. I wanted somebody who won the World Series championship, won a College World Series championship, and won the Major League Baseball World Series championship, and got put into the Hall of Fame.
Did Google laugh at you when you requested that?
They just ignored me.
Yes.
I think I have asked for something that is nigh into impossible.
Right. No, that was a good try, though. I mean, you asked for a lot, but hey.
But hey, we got a lot.
Yeah,
I think Ed, because he was one of them, was three only, when you think about it, participating in the three baseball World Series, Little League, College, and Major League Baseball World Series, only three individuals that we know of have done so, and Ed Vosburgh is one of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's probably the first one that did it.
Yeah, he was the first one. He was, because it was 1976 or something like that, 70-something, whatever it was.
Yeah. So that was that was terrific, and to have him on your show yesterday, that was great.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you, Tom. Can you ask for a raise for me?
I'll do my best. Yes. Nobody listens to me around here.
And
you don't even listen to me.
That's true, but no one listens to the show anyway, so what's the point?
Well, let's invite those people that aren't listening to call in if they want to participate or join in or bring up a subject that they'd like to talk about.
Sure. In fact, if you want to talk about hoop dreams right now, because I didn't see it. This is back when I started covering college basketball, and I'm thinking, how come I don't remember seeing this? It was a big-time Chicago basketball, real-life filming, obviously very popular back then. In fact, when the Wildcats won the title in 97, the Citizen, which, of course, I wrote for forever, that was the headline when Jason Terry on the
was Bobby Benson in that movie?
No, God.
He was in another
he was,
basketball
talked about
movie.
That. I talked about that with you. It was 1-on-1, 74-ish.
Yeah, I think so.
This is a lot.
Your comment about that rattled something back in my brain.
No, that was like 20 years ahead of that.
Well, our number is 790-2040 if you want to call in. If you're out of the Tucson area, 520-790-2040.
If you want to call and talk about hoop dreams, that'd be cool. And then maybe if you want to call in later, talk to the producer.
What do you remember about hoop dreams?
I don't. I just remember it was Chicago.
I know I saw it, but I don't remember the movie. I don't remember exactly what happened.
Well, it was...
Were they followed? Was it like a docu drama or something like that?
That's exactly what it was. Inner city kids playing basketball.
Okay.
It was a big deal at the time. I know that.
All right. The struggles they had to go through and then if they hopefully triumphed to conclude the movie.
I'll tell you right here. It follows the story of two African-American high school students in Chicago and their dream of becoming professional basketball players. Originally intended to be a 30-minute short film produced in the Public Broadcasting Service, it eventually led to 5 years of filming and 250 hours of footage. It did really well at the premiered at the 94 Sundance Film Festival, where it won audience awards for best documentary.
So 5 years, they must have followed them through their whole high school career.
Yeah. Despite its length, 171 minutes, it's unlikely commercial genre. It received high critical and popular acclaim and grossed over $11 million worldwide. It was number one on the current TV special 50 documentaries to see before you die. I had one of those books.
Oh, a bucket list movie.
Yeah. It's like my book. You've seen my book, right? My 100 Things. I advise people when they buy it, read it slowly. You know, it'll prevent them from dying.
I always read slowly. I am not one of those scanning reader types. I have to digest every word and look up words that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good to know, Tom. I'll type slowly for you.
Thank you.
I'll type slowly. I did this just for you. I won't hack away like you do on the, you know.
Yeah, clickety-clack. My keyboard makes noise. Yours doesn't.
Yes. Soft-fingered, buddy. Soft-fingered. What else is going on? Did you see how disastrous? We talked a little about this yesterday, the Raiders and the Cardinals, and how disastrous the quarterback situation was at Phoenix with Murray.
Yeah, I'm beginning to hear rumbles about the new coach's new offense that he's trying to install, and whether it's really going to work with Kyler Murray or not.
Well. Now it's a little too late.
Right now it's not.
Well, there's a few things. There's a few things on the board. You have the rookie, you know, the Heisman winner, the first round pick. Okay, so is he tall enough? Is he mobile enough? Is he strong enough to play quarterback in this league? And then you have the rookie coach who got fired at college, and fell forward to land an NFL job because of his apparent or so-called genius in this offense.
You know what apparently was part of the trouble that he was having in the game?
Murray?
Yeah. You know how college quarterbacks, and our guys do it too, Khalil being one, when they're getting ready to start the play, they clap.
Yeah.
Well, you're not doing that in the pros, or most of the pro, well, I guess all the pro quarterbacks don't do that.
Yeah.
And yet, that's what Kyler was doing. And it was causing the Raiders to jump off sides. So he was getting called, not the Raiders, not the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so the referees and the coach for the Cardinals, I don't remember his name, help me.
From last year?
No.
Or this year?
This year.
Oh,
current coach.
Yeah, well, the kid from Texas Tech.
He's the new coach.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he was having conversation with the referees on the sidelines about this. And so apparently that's something they're going to have to work out. Are they going to allow quarterbacks in the NFL to clap like they do in college to start the play, or or tell the linemen that they're getting ready to start the play, or whatever the clap is about? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Right.
So that was something that was happening in last night's game, and got him off. He never really got into the offense because of those incidents.
Well, the name is Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know why I forgot
Kingsbury.
That.
Okay, good.
I forget names. Bob, Fred, Ted, whatever your name is.
Coach. Let's just call him Coach.
Coach of the Cardinals. Yeah. We'll see how long that lasts. Like last night, and let me tell you, you didn't read much into last night, I'm sure. I didn't read much last night. It's an exhibition game, yada, yada.
These are things that you can work, you work out over time. That's why you have preseason.
Sure, sure. But you also have to realize that the Cardinals aren't expected to win a whole lot of games. If they win four or five, that'll be like, wow, because they're not any good.
You got a new coach. You're getting a new offense, trying to get a new
I know. There's a lot there with a new quarterback who's undersized at the position. Hope he lasts the whole season. It's going to be a strange year. We'll see. Hey, Eric, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you. So you're talking about rule changes, I guess. I just became aware last night watching the Diamondbacks game. Did you know that they're considering banning the shift, the position shifts, you know, that teams are using now? What do you think of that? Because to me, it seems like you ought to be able to put your players wherever you want.
You're talking about in the outfield, Eric?
No, the infield.
In the infield.
Yes.
What's going on?
Wait. Go ahead.
Help me out.
Explain it to my novice guy.
Yes.
Okay, so recently in baseball, teams have employed position shifts where if you have a left-handed batter, for instance, the third baseman is over playing near where the shortstop would play. The shortstop is over behind second base, sometimes in short center field. The second baseman is way over by first base. They shift the entire positions of the players dramatically. And they have statistics on where particular players, hit the ball most. So each player now has like a card in their pocket they refer to for each batter, and they shift their whole infield way over to compensate for that. And I heard that, and that's really very prevalent now. It's almost every team's using it.
Yes.
Very rarely do you have the standard third baseman, you know, playing near the bag and shortstop and in the conventional position. But so I guess they're considering banning those shifts.
I
was wondering what you thought about that.
Eric, let me go to your question real quick. So did you play ball?
Oh, you know, I tried.
Okay. The reason I ask is because if you play ball, you kind of say that, you know, that's unfortunate that it's happening. I think it's brilliant that they do this because you're right. They keep stats on everything. How many times you chew gum during a game and hit to the left side with the lefty against a righty, yada, yada. That's part of the game. And I agree with you. As much as I don't like the shift, I think it's brilliant and they shouldn't change it because it's at your detriment. You know, let's say a lefty's batting against a righty or whatever, and the third baseman shifts to play shortstop. Why not bunt down the third base line?
Well, and they do sometimes.
Yes.
If you're a good batter,
yes,
you wait on it a little longer and you can go opposite field. And so that is the risk you take, which makes it a little more exciting.
Exactly.
I think
total.
Hey, guys, I've got the answer for you.
Go ahead, Tom.
You need a first and second base shortstop and a second and third base shortstop. Why do you think they have a shortstop in the first place? Because most batters were right-handed batters. So that's why they have had the shortstop position. Let's put another shortstop out there.
Well, that's kind of what they're doing.
That's what they're doing.
Right, exactly. So we'll institute, instead of having 9 players on the field, we'll have 10.
Go ahead, Eric.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
Well, I was just wondering how Tom felt about imposing a rule, putting people, and how do you enforce that? I mean,
you can't.
You know, because I mean, if you're playing third base, are they going to put like a box where you have to play? I like this shift.
I do too. Let me tell you the one thing.
Who's complaining though? Who's complaining about this shift?
Major League Baseball is considering disallowing the shift.
I agree. I totally agree.
They're trying it out in some minor league system in the Atlantic Coast or something league to see how that works right now. So they're pretty, I guess they're serious about it, but
it's just strategy.
The shift thing kind of adds a new wrinkle to baseball, which I like.
Yes, I agree with you. Let me say this. The one thing I don't like that's going to possibly happen and likely happen is the robot umpire.
I don't like that either. Yeah, that takes – because I don't like – even that box they put on
there,
it's – you know, it was always – at least I always understood the rule was that the strike zone is like from your armpits down to your kneecaps, and some players – have they're taller and their strike zone is bigger, but that box is the same for everybody. And so it kind of puts a disadvantage to a shorter player because the strike zone is the same size, and you get, if you're a taller player, you have more of a chance of having a ball called than a shorter player. But yeah, I don't like the robot thing. I mean, that takes the humanity out of the umpires. They have recall on plays. I like that because that does sometimes change the outcome, and but not robot umpires.
And you know, guys, if they want to ban the shift in the infield, then what about the outfield? They've been shifting the outfield, ever since baseball started.
Right, but they're talking just about the infield.
I agree with you, Eric. We all, I'm not sure how old you are, but we've lived through a lot of things, and football's changing, as we know. Basketball's changing, and now baseball's changing. Let them play. Just let them play. No changes.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for a different call. That was a different call. Okay. Thank you, Eric.
That's one of the things I like about baseball is the strategy involved.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You have situational awarenesses. And then the strategic moves you make because of what's happening, what's going on the field, and who's up, who's pitching, and all of that. That's what I like about
it. That's part of the game. I mean, that's part of the greatness of the game is the strategy.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do with a 1-2 pitch, a full count, send your runner, yada, yada. It's a lot of every pitch is different. Every brings a different opportunity for a different strategy.
Let them do the shift and let the managers come up with strategies to counter it.
I bet you that rule, if that's what's being said, I don't know, I haven't heard this by Eric, that's not going to pass. That you play the way you want to play and deal with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think you're right. I don't think it's going to pass.
Yeah, the robot thing, I think the robot's going to pass, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't like that either. I mean, that's another strategy thing. When batters get up to the plate, you can flex your knees, you can crouch over. That reduces the strike zone for your body, and that umpire is there to see that and recognize that. A robot isn't going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I get it.
The robot's going to think you're all 6 feet tall and you stand up straight when you bat.
And it eliminates the human element of the whole game from that end.
Yeah.
And
you know how many times I'm watching these games on TV and they have that strike zone box on the screen like Eric was talking about. I'm impressed by how many times the umpires are getting it right on close calls.
Sure.
So,
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Leave it.
And we need fights in the baseball world. That's what I wanted to ask Ed this yesterday, and I missed it because we were off topic. No, we were.
You mean like hockey?
No. Great topics. But I want to see, had he ever been part of a big melee?
Brawl?
Yeah. Because remember to see that one? I think you were with me when we were watching it.
Oh, was that the Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Right. I wonder if he's been in one of those things.
Well, they had been nipping at each other and bickering with each other for several games, apparently, leading up to that one.
Tom, don't make me go over there and kick your high heel.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Let's take a break before we get in trouble with the bosses here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. I hadn't heard that song in a while, Tom.
Susuido.
Susuido.
Susuido. Yeah, that's
Phil Collins.
Genesis. Phil.
Collins.
Collins.
You're funny. You make me laugh.
Well, I'm good for something.
Not many people do. You make me laugh. We have a generation gap. You know that.
You and I?
Yes.
I'm sure we do.
It's okay. I'm okay with that.
I have a lot more gray hair than you do.
Oh, I'm headed in that direction, but I'm okay with that. You make me laugh. So, were you happy about your Raiders winning? Who cares, right?
Derek Carr looked pretty good. I think he only played one series.
How do you know that? Because you were with me when they were playing.
He got him downfield, and they scored a touchdown. And
you're cheating on me over there with that computer over there, right?
And after that, no. When I get home, I know it's later at night because you get out of here earlier than I do. Uh-huh. I'm usually not out of here until close to 8 o'clock. But I get in there and turn on the NFL Network and Sports Center and I catch the highlights.
And do your homework. Get it. Okay. You don't have to text me and say, are you watching this? It's your job.
And they had... Gruden was talking... praising one of the quarterbacks. I'm thinking it's this guy that to me looks like a Mark Wilson lookalike. If you're a Raider fan, you remember Mark Wilson. He was one of the quarterbacks back in the 70s, uh-huh. I think it was. He was okay. He was mainly a backup. And I think this kid Glennon is right. The guy that he was talking about that did well. And then they have Nathan Peterman, I think, is like the third string quarterback for the Raiders.
I'm going through the roster. Go ahead.
And he's doing okay. He seems to be having his ups and downs, though. But I think his name is Glennon, Glennon.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if it's the guy I'm thinking about, he reminds me of Mark Wilson.
Mike Glennon, 6'7".
Yeah.
North Carolina State. 7 years, yeah. He looks, I guess so. He's
kind of thin.
Very thin, balding guy, yeah.
Yeah. Reminds me of Mark Wilson. Wilson was not quite that tall. I think he was like around 6'3", 6'4", something like that.
Nor was he that great.
No. He was never more than a backup.
Yeah.
But he was serviceable.
Yeah, if I had his future, I'd be okay too.
Yeah, there you go.
So, well, good luck, Raiders fans. See what happens before you guys move to Vegas, before you tear down that city and have a good time there. I should go to a game out there. I know I have a few friends who are Raiders fans. I don't get it, but good luck to you. Enjoy this year and next, the first year there.
Yeah, we'll see. I may pay a little more attention this season than I have in the past few, just because I've been paying more attention to the team that Gruden is putting together. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I would assume that the leaders, of course, are the Kansas City Chiefs, the usual suspects, the Patriots.
And they're expecting big things from Mahomes, the young quarterback.
I'm sure he's going to be the number one pick in every fantasy draft there is out there, as I like to call it, the Geek League. Played in it last year. Hated every moment.
The Chargers still are going to be riding with Phil.
Good luck with that.
What about a couple of more this year and maybe another year?
What about the 49ers?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Is he injury prone? I don't know what's going on with that guy.
Last year, we'll see what happens with him. We've got a call, though. We'll see what it is, and then we'll talk some gibberish, sports gibberish. Looking forward to talking to David Kelly here in a few minutes, and then we're going to talk to Mr. Mooney. Gloria, thanks for calling in.
Hey, mijito, I haven't called you in a while.
you even say it like my mom does. actually, you forgot to say one thing. She's hey, mijito lindo. Don't forget the lindo.
Oh, cachetón. Anyway.
You're a pretty boy?
every mom thinks her kids are pretty, no matter how ugly they are.
Cutest little baby ever, right? You go, my God, that thing's butt ugly.
but it's my baby, yes.
But it's my butt ugly baby. Yes. So he's mijito lindo. Yes. So that's it. So I'm calling about Raider fans.
Oh, please.
Because when I'm not cheering for the Cardinals, I cheer for the Raiders.
Holy moly, Gloria. Is there surprising? That's surprising the heck out of me. Do you dress up like those crazy people?
Oh, yeah. Well, I only have the hat, but then I wear black, you know, and I swag. You know, I kind of walk. Funny, I kind of walk muy cholo, you know. Half the audience just go, what?
Yes, no, I get it. I get it.
She's walking with Cholo. And I think a lot of us Raider fans are just because, you know, because in your face, we're going to be Raider fans.
Yes. Hey, Gloria.
You don't like. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's I know exactly what you're saying. I know those fans.
It's an attitude. It's an attitude.
Yes.
Gloria, I got a question for you. It's Tom.
Yes.
When the Raiders move to Las Vegas,
they're going to be
that much closer to Phoenix. Yeah. Even though they're in the different conferences, National and American, do you see a kind of a natural rivalry getting established between the Raiders and the Cardinals?
I think it's going to be very hard for a lot of us. I do think it's going to be a natural rivalry, but I don't know. You know, I talked to a few people up in Phoenix about this who are in the same boat I am.
Mm-hmm. You know, is there some buzz in Phoenix about the Raiders moving to Las Vegas?
Nobody likes it. They feel like it's not a good thing. I don't like it because some house of ill repute has already offered to give them a discount and all sorts of stuff like that. And I thought, no. They're raunchy, but not that raunchy. You know?
That's very funny. Very true, but very funny. So have you been a fan for a long time only because they're an acquired taste?
Yes. My son bought me my first Raiders hat, and oh my gosh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, Kenny Stabler was probably the quarterback.
I tell you, I just love it when they win, and then I just deal with it when they lose. I deal with it a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, you took the words right out of my mouth, Gloria. It's been a lot of tough years since Marcus Allen played.
Yes. But you go with all your pretty boys back there, the Patriots and all of those boys. You know, all of those pretty boys back there. Good luck to them.
Mijito lindos.
And mijito lindo, you know... real guys, and you stand tall for whoever you're cheering for, and then just know that when the Raiders win, Gloria is standing up and going, "Orale!"
I will. Thank you, Gloria. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. That's funny. Gloria's funny. She's funny, man.
Yeah. What did she say about the Raiders moving to Las Vegas? Was not being received well in the Phoenix area?
It was kind of a confusing question for her, but I get it. No, she was talking about the Raiders being offered things in Vegas that are not wholesome.
Oh, okay, I get you.
Yes,
all right.
Yes, okay. Yes. Hey, we got David Kelly on the line. David Kelly, of course, is the KOLD anchors, one of the sports anchors, him and Damien. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hey, you've been busy because I think you've been a one-man band here for about a week or so.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot going on at KOLD right now. So when you in terms of one-man band, you probably haven't gotten the news yet.
No.
We are going to permanently be a one-man band.
Hold, is Damien's leaving?
No, Damien's not leaving.
You're leaving.
He's going to be the one-man band, and I'm transitioning into another role at KOLD.
Oh, wow. When did this become official, or has it been?
It became official when I came back to work for my weekend on Wednesday.
I did not know. So what are you doing? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, working in our digital department. It's one of the things that I've kind of really done well with in my 7 years as a sports anchor reporter, is kind of the jobs of all of us have grown a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, posting for our website, creating web content, as well as content for Facebook and digital. And, you know, it's an area that I've really been able to excel in, and we had a loss in that area. And the decision was made by our team to go to a one-man sports department. And so I'm going to transition into that area and kind of begin to really help that team, as well as I'll still have a role in sports. It'll just be a more limited role than what I've had before.
Wow. So who will be helping Damian on TV when days he's off?
That's not my question to answer.
I get it. There's a no comment in there. I get it. No, but because...
Let's just put it this way. He's off today, he's off tomorrow, and he's off Sunday, so I would imagine you'll have anchors reading news,
yes,
similar to what you've seen in other TV situations. It's kind of the nature of where this business is going right now.
No question. And we've talked about this on and off air. TV business as well as newspaper business is changing dramatically as we speak. Channel 4 and Channel 9 have been doing one-man bands in sports and moving their anchors over to speak about sports. And the time slot used to have maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Now you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, and a lot of stations are moving away from the quote sports block and going to just really more of a traditional sports as a segment kind of thing, where you basically are almost like a news reporter. You go out, you do a story, which obviously it pertains to sports, and then the producers kind of place it in the newscast where they want to place it. If it's a really hot thing, they might place it in the A block. So you'll see more sports, you know, maybe at the top of the show than you did before, versus, you know, in that traditional hole at 6:20 or 9:50. You may see it in earlier segments depending on, you know, how hot that particular news of the day is. If it's a really good, enterprising piece that, you know, they think will do well with the female demos as well, then you may see it higher in newscasts. So it's an opportunity as well for, you know, for sports to kind of be more than just at the end of shows, kind of maybe putting, you know, those stories more towards the forefront as well.
Yeah, no question. The only drawback from that, and not it's a drawback for you guys, it's for the reader, the listeners or viewers, because you don't know when that spot's going to go. No longer the
That's true. Exactly. That is the case. So you kind of have to, you know,
watch
you
it all.
Have to know. And it's in, you know, then that's kind of where our side will come in. You know, we'll promote those pieces as best that we can to make sure that people know where they are and when to tune in. And it's the way that they measure these newscasts has changed. It's a lot of metrics now, depending on the time inside of the newscast, where you're trying to hit certain numbers and certain metrics in certain time slots. You know, whether it's a half hour newscast or an hour newscast, and so we are really trying to push, you know, viewers and doing things to try to push viewers into those higher metric time areas as well, because, you know, that's kind of where the ratings and how they're starting to kind of gauge who the best stations are now.
Yeah, no question. And everybody's into numbers and weather and all that stuff. So you've been through it. You're an old guy like me.
Oh, yeah. And again, it's like it's one of those things where you try to do whatever you can to keep yourself relevant. And fortunately for me, over the time that I was here, I was able to kind of excel in an area that was a part of my job, but, you know, a newer part of my job. And so, you know, so that allowed me to kind of slide into this new area and keep right on trucking. And I'll still be covering U of A football, and obviously we'll see as we kind of, because we're really not sure, because I'm the first person with an on-air background that's been in this role. So I'm not sure, you know, we're still not sure how, you know, there may be, I mean, I'll be fronting pieces, hopefully, once we kind of get on the ground running with it, fronting pieces for our website and Facebook Lives and those types of things. And I will occasionally show up on TV, you know, like I mentioned, my segments with Glenn Howe and U of A football will still be a large part of our fall. And we'll kind of just see how we, you know, build it. It's almost like you have this baby. Now, how are you going to build it kind of situation?
Can I ask David a question?
Go ahead.
David, if they're putting less of an emphasis on sports, they think that's going to improve their numbers? Does that mean that their audience measurements are showing that people are not that interested in sports anymore? What's going on?
I don't. That's probably a question for someone way above my pay scale. You know, I don't really. It's really, I think, more of just trying. I mean, and again, I think it goes back to the business as a whole and trying to do more with less. And that's kind of where that is now. Whether the metrics in this market say that sports is not as big a deal, I couldn't really answer that question. That's not the way that they have, you know, presented it to me. I know that there are other markets where this is happening inside of our company, but there are also markets inside of our company where it's not happening. I mean, I spoke to a market, or I saw a market where they are hiring a weekend sports anchor, and so it's in, but they're in the middle of SEC country, where, say, you know, it's maybe the fandom and the draw for collegiate sports is maybe a little bit higher than it is here. And so, yeah, there are markets where it's happening. There's markets where it's not happening. You know, these news directors have certain numbers where they have to meet in terms of their budgets and their talent and then the people inside of their newsroom. And I think it's incumbent on each news director to kind of to play those cards the way that it best works for their station. Some stations are going to value one thing maybe higher than they value another, whereas maybe a station down south might value sports more because, you know, you're maybe in between two schools, like, say, in Auburn or in Alabama. A station out here in Arizona might not value that sports position as much because you're only dealing, you know, with one university or so.
Help me with this one, David. I've heard reports that even in the SEC, that some of the stadiums are not filling like they used to in the good old days, sort of like what's been happening here at Arizona.
No question. I mean, I think that's one of the big studies that people are trying to figure out, why folks are not going to games. I mean, we constantly hear about the start times here within our fan base, which, you know, I think that it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, people complaining about start times, especially in, you know, being too late, especially in September and October, when you really can't play games during the day, at least in this climate. But you've got all these screens now. You've got, you know, people are, I mean, TVs are bigger now. People are just staying home, and they can watch two or three games at home or watch a game on their big screen, and they don't have to necessarily go to the stadium anymore, and they can have people over to their house. It's just, I think the viewing of fans is just changing as I think we get the advent of the more you can do with mobile devices. I think that's changed the way that people are watching sports now. And so it's not necessarily something where people want to go out there and battle traffic and necessarily. I mean, tailgating is appealing for maybe some people still. And I've known ever since I've moved here, I've known a lot of people that will go tailgate
and not go to the mall,
but they don't go to the game. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you have that element as well.
Well, we talked to a fan this week. He spends $150 a game for him and his two kids, food and all that stuff. This ain't cheap.
No, it's not. It's not cheap at all. It is not cheap at all. And, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, the prices have gone up, especially when you're talking about professional sports and PSLs. And, I mean, you know, in some NFL markets, you have to buy a personal seat license just to give yourself a chance to actually buy the season tickets. So that's like, and then granted, it's only a one-time charge, but still you're paying like $1,000 just for the right to buy tickets every year.
Yep.
So you have situations like that. I mean, back when the Browns came back in 99, I did that. I was in Cleveland at the time. I bought my personal seat license. I think I paid like $750 for two seats. So I think it might have been $1,500 each, or $1,500 for the two seats. And then I was able to get in and buy season tickets. And so,
well, it's why I give blood. It's why I give blood, so I can go to these events. Hey, can you stick around for the next segment just to touch base for what I really want to talk to you about?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's take a break here. We're already 7 minutes late, so let's get to the commercials and come right back. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and on the phone we have KOLD sports anchor David Kelly. I'm not sure how much longer, but hey.
Digital content specialist. Let's go with that title now.
When does that start? Is it already started?
It started Wednesday, yeah.
Wow. See, what do I do? What do I know? So I still hope you go to those press conferences and ask those kind of crazy questions. I know why you ask them, because we don't have opportunities otherwise. But good luck with that. You know what? It beats the alternative. You know why? You know what the alternative is.
What's that?
Unemployment.
There you go.
No, so congrats. Congrats on the move, and you'll, I'm sure you knocked that out of the park. So you've been busy, and we'll kind of talk about some things, but you've been busy on the road, too, doing some things that not too many people get to do, and that's go to the Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I had a chance to go back to the Pro Football Hall of Fame a couple of weekends ago for the enshrinement weekend, and that's the first time I've been there in about 15 years, and obviously, as a lot of people know, my father played professional football. He's a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and so, yeah, it was nice. It was one of those things where, you know, my dad's kind of getting up in years, and I wanted to try to get back and do another trip, you know, before he gets to the point where he stops going, and so this year was the year that I was able to do that, and really, and it's just a really great event, Steve. I mean, I don't know if you're a fan of football just in general, professional football in particular, it's definitely a trip that I recommend everybody takes, but and experience. But obviously, you know, it's a much different experience when you're, quote, a member of the family, and you get a lot of the insides, you see a lot of how things work from the inside, and getting to be around the players as me and my wife were a couple of weekends ago.
Yeah, no question. Like I say, you get to do things that many of us don't get to. How is it being on that side of it where you're kind of now, not the reporter, but just kind of enjoying the moment?
It's a lot of fun. I tell people, especially in terms of the Pro Football Hall of Fame weekend, I say it's like being treated, it's the closest thing to being treated like royalty. The people of Canton, there's just thousands of volunteers, and there's some things that have kind of changed over the years, but, you know, going back to when my dad first got inducted in 1994, and then the last time I was there, which I believe was probably like around 2003, 2004, you know, my dad would have his own personal driver for the weekend. So anytime like we wanted to go somewhere, he would like pick up his phone and call this guy, and the guy would come pick us up in front of the hotel and take us to wherever we wanted to go, whether we were going to dinner or going to the restaurant. And then like he would leave, and when we would be ready to leave the restaurant, he'd come back and get us and take us back to the hotel. So it's like that. It's just the experience of being, and especially this year, being kind of, because the last time I went, I was partially covering the event, because at the time I was working in radio in Cleveland, but I was also there and hanging out with my dad. But just to kind of this time not be doing any work at all, and the ground zero is the hotel bar. Most of the players stay at this one hotel, and the hotel bar there is ground zero. And just to see the interaction between, you know, the young guys and the old guys. You're talking like old guys like, you know, Larry Zonka and my dad and Jim Brown, and those guys are there. And then young guys like Michael Irvin and Ray Lewis and Andre Reed. I mean, and just to see the interactions between all these different generations of guys, and how now they're all on the same team. And like I posted a picture of Andre Reed just coming up and giving my dad a bear hug, and how he says, "Oh man, I love my Leroy Kelly," kind of thing. It's great to see that camaraderie throughout the years between the guys, and when they're intermingling with each other.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. Your dad was what, 77 now?
He is 77, correct.
77. Yeah. How was it growing up with him being that guy?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, his career was somewhat over. I really only got to see him play for like one season, and then his career ended kind of, I think I was maybe about 6 or 7 years old. Right about the time as a boy you kind of start to understand sports. So I really grew up more around my uncle being a big league ball player in the major leagues, because Major League Baseball, because his career continued until I was almost a teenager. So we were, you know, I my memories are really more about summer times and going to the ballpark to see my uncle play in the big leagues, more so than my dad, you know, playing in the NFL. But you know, it was always interesting when you would be out with him, and how people gravitated toward him, and even now, so just, you know, I get letters and I'll get emails occasionally from fans of his that have kind of found me on the internet and see what I do, and they'll send me emails about how they enjoyed watching him and how that's his favorite player and whatnot. And it was, but it was murder when I played sports because, you know, as soon as I stepped on a football field, you know, all of a sudden there were these high expectations, and anybody that's the son or relative of a professional athlete will tell you it's not always that easy for the next generation to live up to those. And I never really had that type of talent where I could live up to it. So, you know, there were some rough times when you wanted to go out and play, but there was always this expectation that you would be really good, and maybe you weren't that good.
You're too pretty for football there, Mr. Kelly.
I don't know about that. That's why I was in radio for 27 years. I had a face for radio.
Don't say it, man, because that's my motto. That's my motto. That's why I'm here. I had a voice for newspaper.
Exactly, right?
Yes. No, so now you're kind of, how's life going to be for you? We have about 30 seconds. How's life going to be for you now in terms of doing what you do and not on air?
Well, we're going to figure that out. You know, we're still in the process. It's a lot of desk work, a lot more writing than before. And like I said, we're hoping to maybe develop some vignettes some on-air style vignettes for both TV and for the web, and we're still kind of working through that process. This was really the first week, so it was really more like training this week on some of the things I didn't know, but we shall see as the weeks go on.
Great to hear that. Good luck with it, and we'll probably be reading you and following you.
Absolutely, my brother. Look forward to it. I'll still come on your show anytime.
Yes, great, because that's what we want. We have this banter. We got to continue it.
Definitely. Still looking forward. You'll still see me, hear me asking those questions in front of Kevin.
Yeah. Great to hear. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Kelly. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Take care.
Take care, brother.
Yeah, you too. That'll conclude this first hour on a Friday here on 10:30 The Voice. Come back with Mr. Sean Moody at 6:05, and then the Hoop Dreams producer, Mr. Frederick Marks, later in the show.